Ready to talk school funding, Craig. I know this week when it started, you thought on Tuesday, let's talk, or Wednesday, let's talk about school funding. So
we've been talking about this for decades.
Yes, I know. And here to help us kind of sort through the Fair School Funding Plan. There was a recent meeting via Zoom with some of the educators in Ohio to talk a little bit about that. We have a superintendent from Elyria Schools, Ann Schloss. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Craig and I have mentioned school funding has been a topic in the state of Ohio, as it even says in here, for decades.
So yes.
I guess let's talk about where it is right now and what is the meaning, what's the Fair School Funding Plan, and maybe how this differs from what we've seen in the past.
Sure, sure. Well, as I told Bruce, I will simplify it and hopefully make it clear and very understanding for everyone, because it's not easy to understand. I think most people, as I told Bruce, would just say, hey, this, the teacher, that's what it costs to, the cost of the teachers to educate children. And it's so much more than that. And I think the plan, the Fair School Funding Plan that has come up, is probably the best I've seen in my 29 years of education attempt to have it fair and equitable across the board. It's very clear, in my opinion, and meets the needs of many different types of districts. We're not all the same types of districts. And basically, to put it in layman's terms, it has three essential steps. First, the base cost. Second, the state and local share. And the third step is the categorical aid. And what I can tell you is, in the base cost, that is basically the formula that, hey, what does it cost? How do we break it down to tell us what does it cost to educate a child? And that the components of that are like the direct classroom instruction, the instructional and student supports, the building leadership and operations, the district leadership and accountability. So all those are wrapped up into a district funding model, and that's considered the base cost. So, that's your counselors, your EMIS directors, your building principals, your custodians, and your teachers. And then, currently, the way the state and local share runs is it's very much dependent on property. And that often puts a lot of, homeowners, as we know, or business owners in kind of a sticky situation, and where they're paying all these extra taxes based, when we pass new levies, that happens. The new formula will allow us to have more of a balance of property and residential income. And it'll be determined by the capacity to generate those local dollars. So that's a big change from just dependent on property taxes. So only those that own property would get hit, so to speak, with the new taxes. And then the third, the categorical aid, then it looks at each district. This is where the individual districts characteristics will be looked at. For instance, if it's more of a district with poverty, it looks at the special ed population, the English language learners, the gifted, the transportation costs. It also puts the voucher system out of our district funding and lets the state take care of that separately, which is something we've been looking for. So across the board, those are, the basic differences from the past funding. I think this breakdown is much more rational, much more clear. It gives each type of district the funding they need. And it's they've said it's part of the budget already. It's not something that's going to need new taxes to fund.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because in the news release that came out after your meeting the other night, it mentioned a greater investment, yet a zero tax increase. How does that happen?
Well, and I'm not going to profess to know the ins and outs of all that, but what I will say is they're restructuring the money in the budget to make it more how do I want to say it, distributed differently, I guess is the best way to say it. From what we're being told, this is money that's already there. It's just going to be used differently.
Talking this morning with Superintendent of Elyria Schools, Ann Schloss, about the Fair School Funding Plan. You were part of a meeting with also Avon Superintendent Laub as well. Who else was part of that meeting? What was sort of the vibe of what was being discussed there?
Sure, sure. So Mike Laub from Avon School Superintendent, myself and our treasurer, Joy Clickinger, are part of the leadership team of the 13th District, which encompasses both Lorain County and Huron County. And we had Senator Nathan Manning, who I just have to give a shout out to Senator Manning. He is very supportive. We meet with him monthly since the pandemic started. We've been meeting with him weekly. Also Gail Manning and Representatives Miller and Stein. But Nathan really is an advocate for education, and he supports this funding plan. And he was there giving support. We had Ryan Pendleton, who was on the work group there for 3 years to come up with this new funding plan, and he presented to us. He's the treasurer of Akron City Schools. So he was the key to this, and I have to say it sounds like a no-brainer, but it's unique. But for once, the legislators and the educators and treasurers, superintendents, treasurers, all worked together for 3 years on this plan. You know, we often hear things coming to us without input from the people who are in the trenches, and that's why I think this plan is so good. It does incorporate a lot of work from the people who are in the trenches, so to speak.
Doesn't help that sometimes those legislators were former teachers or went through the educational system either as far as people.
Yeah,
in the
Joe
staff.
And Gail are former educators, and Nathan grew up in the home with his mom as a teacher, so it does help. And I will say that's what they want. They want what's best for not only the students and the education, but you know the city, their constituents, because they the old plan of having, you know, if you think back to the DeRolf decision where it was unconstitutional how many ever times, 4 times, I think, you know, it does hit these. We want people to move to Elyria and buy homes and start businesses, but if they're constantly getting taxed and, you know, the property taxes based on, you know, increases to support education, that's hard. And I think this plan really helps even that out a little bit, you know, with the income piece and then also looking at the capacity of the homeowners.
If this should pass, would it lessen the need for school districts like yours to go to voters with levies every 5 or 10 or 3 years?
My initial observation would be yes. You know, I can't say never, you know, because you just it depends on rising costs, you know, and what is needed. But I think what it will do is it will provide us with what we need based on what our unique district is. And let's hope that, you know, we still have to be good stewards of the money as a district, and we have to make sure we're doing what we can to cut costs, as does the city government. But I mean, that's something we're going to continually have to do. But our hope is, I don't know that it'll ever take away that, but I think it's definitely going to get us in a much better place.
And one of the keys to this, which I think is important, is that one about the economic disparities that happen, where some school districts feel as though they have no chance of getting funds to better their school system. This will help
right.
in that.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look across, and that's why I like the three-step funding plan they have here, because it looks, you know, there is no district that's like the next district. You look just in Lorain County with the 14 districts and the one JVS, we're all very unique. We have urban, we have suburban, and we have rural. And our needs are very different. And I feel this plan looks at each district individually. And, you know, in the old system, you had cap districts, you had guaranteed districts. You know, for the last 2 years, we've all kind of been capped with no new money. So It is hard because the growing costs of educating children, you know, are there. And I think this plan is very rational, transparent, and clear, and it will help all of us.
Well, this past year has indicated you never know what you're going to need your funding for. I mean, and I don't even know how long they'll figure out how much did all this cost. Can we ever afford to continue to do this situation the way we're working now?
Absolutely. And the federal government and the state government has helped us greatly. But again, everyone got different help. So I think continually looking at the fairest, most equitable way to do this. And we have to remember, again, based on the needs of that district.
Well, we look forward to see how this advances and what's the next step taken for the Fair School Funding Plan. And we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for your sharing.
Well, thank you for having us, and have a great holiday week.
Go Pioneers.
Always go Pioneers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Angela's joining us this morning, Illyria School Superintendent. It's always fun to talk with Ann, see what's going on there as well.